I want to talk to you today about hope, and specifically hope as it relates to my story. I think in order to tell you that, I think hope and hopelessness are really linked together, because there were constantly a battle over which one we choose. And recently, 3 months ago, I was laid off from my job of 9 years, and it started me on this battle of who am I going to trust? Am I going to trust the Lord? Or am I going to try to take this over into my own strength? And to back up a little, I'd like to talk a little to you about what our Emerge discipleship course was about. It's really a leadership intensive over the course of 9 months, where we really dig in to the things in our life that we need to surrender over to God so that we can become more like Him and lead in His image. And there were two specific things over the last year that really God in His mercy worked in my heart. The first, they were both things that happened to me as a child. The first was, I believed a lie. I believed two lies. And the first one was, I believed that God would not provide for my needs. And this came from a season in my life where my parents went through a bankruptcy when I was about 12 years old. And my dad had to go away out of town. In fact, he came down here to San Jose and worked. He was in construction, and we were up in Redding. And he worked for 2 or 3 years where he would come down here on the week and come home on weekends if he could. And it was just a really hard season, or a season that our family didn't want to be in. But when I look back, I realize that God, he made a way for us. And isn't that a promise that he says in Scripture, that that even like the birds of the field and the grass that grow in the fields, that God would feed us like the birds, and that He would clothe us like the grass in the fields. I forgot that promise. And it wasn't until this last year with Emerge that God really started working in my heart to start believing again that He could provide for my needs. I also believed another lie that kind of came alongside this one, and it was the belief that that I would never be good enough. And it came from a situation where my dad, in all his good intentions, he wanted me to become a hard worker, and he gave me this job that seemed to be way too big for me. And he wanted me to clean out his entire work trailer that he had just come home from the weekend with, and clean it out and put all the tools away in the garage organized. And I thought, there's no way that I will ever be able to do this job well enough to please my dad. And so this lie kind of stuck around for going into my adult life, that if something seemed too overwhelming, that there was no way that that I would actually be able to please my Heavenly Father. And both of these lies were lies that over the course of Emerge, God really broke open and started speaking truths into my heart. And there's a scripture that says that God, before the world was even born, God planned for you and me, and he knew us. And I started realizing that was the promise that I could believe in. So fast forward to 3 months ago, and my boss sat me down across the table and told me that a job that was my security and was my blanket was stripped away from me. And in some ways, I was actually relieved. And I'll tell you why, because over the course of Emerge, I realized that some of the things in my job weren't really pulling out my strengths that I realized that I now had. And in a sense, God was giving me a new starting point, a new adventure. And I was really excited about it. But But then I had to go home to my wife and my 14-month-old son, and I had to tell them the news, and I had to start looking for work. And the enemy started speaking these old lies again, and sometimes he does that. Sometimes God heals us and restores us, but then he also tests us, and he says, "Hey, is this really? Have you really learned the lesson?" And so I started this battle of like, "God, do I really believe you? Do I really trust you? Can I hope in you?" And so this theme of hope has really become something that I've been thinking about and studying, and I wanted to bring to you today. And what is the area of life that you're battling? And is there an area that you just don't think God's going to come through? I just want to share to you the thing that really stuck out to me with this area of hope. And hope is a part of faith, and both of them have to do with trusting God and trusting in his promises for us. And when I realized that trusting in the promises of God was the key to restoring my hope, I started looking in scripture and finding verses like Psalm 37, verse 4. It says, "Take delight in the Lord, and he will give you your heart's desires." This verse for me particularly was one that really changed my outlook. Because I didn't just want to go back to another job. I wanted to go back to a job that would be something that I would be able to give to somebody, something that I was good at, that I could really grow into. And the key here is that we get to delight ourselves in the Lord. And so I just want to encourage you that with this, that we get to delight ourselves in the Lord and take hold of his promises for us. Thank you.
Good afternoon. My name is Carissa North. I'm from The Stirring also. Thank you so much for having me. It's been a wonderful weekend. The Lord asked me to share a part of my story today that is very tender and vulnerable, and still something that he's been walking me through. So to get to that part, let me just give you a little bit of background for me. I grew up in Tulsa, Oklahoma, so the middle of the country, far away from any extended family. My dad moved us there when I was 10. So it was really just me and my brothers and my parents, and we were very much just us and isolated from extended family. So they were really all I had growing up. We were very close Christian family. And when I was about 7, my dad had cut off relationship with his family. So I wasn't allowed to talk to my grandparents or my cousins just because of things in their lives that my dad didn't agree with. So I grew up with sort of this idea that it was okay to just cut people out of your life if you didn't agree with them. And my grandfather, my mom's dad, had done the same to us. There were many times when we didn't get presents from them because my grandfather was mad or those sorts of things. So that was really, I grew up just believing that if you didn't agree with somebody or if they'd wronged you, that you just cut them out of your life and moved on like it never happened. It wasn't until I was older and I graduated college and I moved to New York from Oklahoma to attend seminary, that I started processing through how that was not really a good way to live, especially as Christians who say that, you know, we're forgiven by Jesus and we need to forgive others. So I met my husband in seminary and we started dating. And my mom got really weird and was got very controlling and very just very odd for her, that it seemed like she, because she didn't know him, that it was not something that I should be doing. And she started just being very distant and not really talking or engaging my life. And I was very excited about this time in my life. I'm like, I met the man I'm going to marry. It's really exciting. And she wasn't excited for me, which was really difficult. And then he proposed and I said yes. And we were super excited. And I decided, we had prayed a lot and asked people in our lives to pray with us about where to get married. I didn't have a whole lot of heart connections in Oklahoma, and we were living in New York at the time, and so we decided to get married there. And I didn't realize that I had done something really wrong, like, until we made the decision. But it was almost like my mom thought we were shaming my family. Like, I was shaming my family because I wasn't getting married in Oklahoma. Whereas it was more like our life was in New York and we wanted the people that loved us and knew us together to be celebrating with us. And my mom had never been one of those people. So we got married. My mom came to the wedding. But there were so many hurtful things along the way. And she even asked me not to marry him right before I walked down the aisle to get married. So my bridesmaids came and prayed with me, and it was fine, and I got married, and it was wonderful, and it's still wonderful. But in the 3 years, so I've been married almost 3 years now, and in this time, my mom has basically cut off relationship with me. And it wasn't until last year when I finally sought counseling, because I had been so entangled in my family. Like, my whole identity was tied to, like, my mom and my dad and my brothers. And this was who I was like part of their family. And after I was kind of cut out, I didn't really have an identity anymore. And that's when the Lord started speaking to me about who I am in him, and that I'm his daughter, and that he's proud of me, and that he's not going to cut me off, and he's not going to just turn his back on me if I do something that he doesn't like or that he doesn't approve of. So when I was, when I sought the help of a counselor, she helped me to see that this family pattern of emotional cutoffs was continuing with my mother. And it was at that point that I realized that I had a choice. I had a choice of continuing that family pattern or stepping into what the Lord was calling me to, which was being part of his family and taking on that identity and discontinuing that pattern and walking in forgiveness. So I made that choice with my mom, and I've drawn some boundaries just because it's healthy to do that with family. But I still seek her out. I when the Lord asks me to, I call her or text or send cards. But it wasn't until this weekend when the Lord asked me to share this story that I realized that I have forgiven my mom. It was really, really hard because I didn't understand, and I knew my mom wasn't right. So for me, forgiveness is really hard when I know that, like, the other person's really wrong. And I'm sure that's hard for all of us, but I think I felt like, well, I'm justified in feeling hurt, and I'm justified in holding on to this because she's wrong. But that's not true. Like, God asks us to forgive, and it's not conditional. It's not like, forgive them only if, you know, like, this and this are true. It's forgive, period. And I've realized that as the Lord has walked me through that process, and as I've chosen forgiveness, and as I've chosen to cut that generational pattern and choose to love no matter what, I see my mom differently now. Like before, I saw her as just this mean person that I didn't understand. And now I realize, like, I see my mom through the eyes of the Lord. And she's been going through a lot, and she's just really hurting, and she's in a lot of pain, and she's really broken. And that's how I see my mom now. And when people ask me about her or our relationship, I just say, please, please pray for my mom. Like, she really needs prayer, because she's alone and she's hurting and she's in pain. And it's not because of me, and it's not because of that relationship, even though I long for that to be restored, but it's because the Lord has given me his eyes to see her. And I just think that's, it's been a really long journey, and I'm not arrived yet, but just in reflecting on that story, I've been so encouraged at like what the Lord's done in me, because I'm a very different person than I was even a year ago, and it's all because of him and what he's been teaching me and walking me through.
It's hard when you have to follow your wife. And she's great. So my name's Josh, and I'm also with the team from The Stirring, and just want to share with you this morning part of my journey over the past 9 months as well, and what the Lord's been teaching me. And probably the biggest thing that I've realized that he's been teaching and growing me in is my identity, which when I take a minute to think about it, it's kind of surprising, because I grew up in the church, and I don't think I would have said, yeah, I need to learn more and grow more in my identity. But I didn't realize that I was kind of getting who I was. I was kind of getting my identity from the wrong places. And so to back up a little bit and give you guys a picture into my life, from the time that I was a kid, I wanted to be a pastor of a church. And that was kind of the dream that the Lord put in my heart. I can't even really remember a time before that. People would ask me, well, what do you want to do? And I would say, well, I want to work in the church. I want to be a pastor. That's what I'm passionate about, even as a little boy. And so it was something that I really set my mind to. And went through school, graduated high school, and I went to a Christian college, and I got a degree in pastoral ministry. And then I went to seminary, and I got another ministry degree. In the midst of that, I interned at several different churches, did internships, did all these different things, because I was pursuing this dream. And about 2 years ago now, my wife and I got a call from some friends of ours, and they were offering us the opportunity to come work with a ministry that they had started. And so we were living in New York, like my wife said, and we decided to make the trek out to Reading. And so we drove 3,000 miles, and we were excited, and for both of us, it was something that we were really looking forward to and really expectant. And for me, it really felt like a dream come true, because that's what I had been pursuing my whole life. And it ended up being a lot different than what we had anticipated. And it was a really difficult year for us that we were involved in this ministry, and we finally, through a lot of prayer and discussion between the two of us, decided that it was best for us to walk away from that. And it was such a hard decision and a really painful decision. And at first I was angry and I was upset, and it was directed towards the people that we had been working with and doing this ministry with. And yes, there was legitimate hurts and pains there, but it wasn't until yesterday when I was walking around the park with my daughter and talking with her. She's 3 months old, so I was doing all the talking. But just processing through this past year and our experience, that I realized that, yes, there were legitimate hurts and pains that came out of that situation. But what I realized is the Lord really took that and used it to reveal something in my heart. And what he revealed to me is that I had put all of my identity into what I wanted to do with my life. And the fact that I wanted to do ministry, and really that desire and that dream had become an idol in my life and had been the thing that I was pursuing and pursuing and pursuing. And so then when we made this decision to step down from this ministry, I didn't know what to do. And I was out of work for 2 months, and we had just found out that we were going to have a baby. And I eventually got a job at Domino's delivering pizzas. And I was so ashamed of that job at first, because I just felt like I had failed miserably. But through my time in Emerge and different people who have walked with me in this season of life, I've realized my identity was put in the wrong thing. And so the Lord's kind of been rewiring and reconfiguring things in my own heart to know that first and foremost, I'm his son. And because of that, no matter what job I have or what I do, it's all ministry. And it's all beautiful, and it can all be a beautiful gift to him. And so whether I ever work in a church or not, I've kind of come to this place it's still a dream, but it's not like the thing that I'm pursuing. I'm pursuing the Lord. And that's been a really fun journey for me. It hasn't felt fun at times, but it's been fun to come to that place. And the story that I kept coming back to in the Bible in Emerge is the story of Joseph, and because he had dreams. The path that the Lord took him on to get to that place was a lot different than what he probably ever imagined. And, you know, he was just this young boy, and he had these dreams and shared these dreams with his family, and they got mad at him and sold him into slavery, which really wasn't his fault. And then he finds favor. He becomes the servant in the captain of the guard of the Pharaoh, and he serves in his house, and he rises to this position. And then he's wrongfully accused by this man's wife, and so he gets thrown into prison. And so he's kind of even at a lower point than he was before. But he again kind of has favor in this place, and then interprets the dreams of some men that he's in prison with and says, "Hey, like, remember me, because these guys worked for the Pharaoh." And the one guy got murdered, I think. He didn't make it out. And the other guy went back and forgot about him. And so he was stuck in prison, and eventually though this other man that he interpreted his dream for remembers, and hopefully you guys know the story. He gets restored and he becomes second in command of Pharaoh. But I feel like looking at that story, he had a dream. God gave him a dream, and he could have easily walked away from that during his journey when he got sold into slavery and thrown into prison and all these different things. He could have just said, like, forget it. Like, I'm not, like, this isn't what I imagined, God. But instead, he really chose to press in to the process and to the place where he was, and let the Lord build the things in him that he needed that would eventually allow him to be this man who saved a whole country, basically, as well as his family. And so my story is very much still in the making and incomplete, but I am very hopeful, to borrow from Luke, and hopeful for what the Lord has for me and for my wife and our family, and feel a lot more grounded than I ever have before. And so I just want to encourage you guys with that tonight, to really press into who you are as a son or a daughter of God, and to live from that place always. It's not always easy. It's a choice that we have to make, I think, daily a lot of times, because there's a lot of things that want to come in and and take that spot in our hearts. And so I just want to encourage you guys with that today.
Can we do this? I want to pray for the team. I think this is such a beautiful expression of the kingdom of God. You heard some really vulnerable stories. What we heard tonight is not just a chapter from a theology book or a lesson from our Bible. It's really the power of the gospel transforming our lives and our hearts. Thank you for being so vulnerable and just opening your lives to us. We heard the story of hope. We heard the story of the power of forgiveness. We heard the story of who we are in Christ. And I think when we come together, and do you remember what Jesus said? If we love one another, the world will come to know that we are his disciples. This is our preaching. This is our message. You may think that these are just a bunch of strangers coming from Reading, but I really do believe that the Lord sent you into our midst so that we can practice really how to love one another and build this relationship into our future together. So I'm going to encourage you. I know that some of you are just learning how to pray. But we want to gather around our friends, our brothers and sisters from Reading, and we're going to speak hope into their lives. We're going to speak just our identity. We're going to remind there's so many people around us who need this hope, who need to experience the power of forgiveness, and who need to really hear the message of our identity, who we are, who I am in Christ. So if we can gather around them, we're going to boldly just bless them and speak whatever God lays on your heart. And we hope that they can take this blessing back to Reading and continue to proclaim the story that God is writing. I love what you shared at the end. Our stories are still in the making. Do you agree? It's not over. It's not finished. God is writing those stories in each of our lives, and it's still in the making. So I really believe that one day we're going to get to sit around in the kingdom of God and be able to tell these stories again and again and again.